Blog Talk Radio.
Truly, our God reigns with power and majesty, dominion, authority. He reigns. We are just so thankful to be on the broadcast today. This is The Prospering Soul, and we are still in our foundational series. And today our topic is going to be on remission, but we're just so thankful to be on the line today. We always pray that the word will fall on good ground and that it will be a blessing to you and that those that need it will hear it and that they will receive the word with gladness and they will receive it with joy and they will begin to apply it to their lives so that application can be put toward it and then they will be able to live what God has purposed for them to live. So we're just so thankful today for being a part of this ministry and being a part of this broadcast. And so we thank God today for that. And I'm just going to ask, I think I see Elder Dotson or Elder or Sister Dotson on the line, and I want to ask them if they will lead us out in prayer today.
Amen. It's Sister Dotson. Elder Dotson's not here.
You there? Okay. Yes, okay. I'm here.
All right. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this hour. We pray that you move by your spirit. We pray that you would help us to be doers of the word and not hearers only, dear God. I pray that someone will be saved, someone's life will be changed this evening. I pray that you bless everyone that is presenting this evening to bring the word and bring it with clarity that comes straight from heaven above. In Jesus' name, I thank you for your blessings. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we give honor and thanks for that. Thank you so much for that prayer. And we're going to be talking about remission today. We're continuing on our foundational series. We have been talking about baptism, and it was such an awesome teaching. And so we're going to take on some of these other topics that are dealing with the foundational portion of salvation and what it means, and we're just breaking down each topic just to give a good explanation and a good foundation to what they actually mean and how we need to apply it to our life and how it fits into the plan of salvation that God had intended for us. And so these are the things that we will be doing, as we're going to talk about that in the next sessions going forward. And as we always say, we put a time and say, well, maybe 1 or 2 weeks, but sometimes it takes us through a little longer. But I think this is a shorter topic, and so I'm not sure if we'll even need another week on it. It depends on how the teaching goes today. But we're thankful for it. And so I'm leading out today. Of course, I have people on the line. I see Minister Henry's on the line. I thank God for him. And thank God for Sister Dotson being on the line. And I know they are equipped for to jump right on in at any time. I see Elder Poston has come on the line. I think that's him. And so we're just so thankful for all of them and those that are logging in and those that will be calling in and those that will be listening to the broadcast later. We thank God for each and every one of you for your support. So as when I talk about remission, I want to start it out with a question today. And it says, what is remission of sin? What does that really mean? And so to remit is to forgive. Remission is related to is a related word, and it means forgiveness. And so the remission of sins then is simply the forgiveness of sin. And the phrase is used about 8 times in the New King James, I mean in the King James version of the Bible. And so that's where we'll find it at. And so that's the scriptural, I mean the biblical references I'll be using today is the King James version. And if we start out, this one particular scripture is Matthew 26 and 28. Now I'm gonna try to slow down because you know I can speed up real quick. But I'll make sure that I go a little slower today and won't talk so fast. But Matthew 26 and 28 is really talking about the death and resurrection of Jesus. And it talks about the scripture reads on this wise, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. Modern translations such as the English Standard Version, those they say the forgiveness of sin, but the remission of sins is just that. It is Christ forgiving us for our sins, and he's taking on the load. I was reading, and I thought this was a very good analogy in my notes, and it said that Christ took our hell, God's anger against us, our sin must be vented. It said he never overlooks sin nor sweeps it under the carpet. But through Calvary, God's righteous anger is extinguished. And why? Because the Christ shed, this blood shed of Christ. And what does the word shed mean? In the Greek, the word is ekheo, which is E-C-K-H-E-O. According to Strong's lexicon, it means to pour out or gush out. And, of course, when Jesus was on the cross, his blood was gushing out of him. When they pierced him in his side, the blood began to run down and run down. And so gush out. And so that we might be saved from the wrath to come. So that is the reason why that those things happen, Jesus being our propitiation for our sin. And so we thank God for that and his blood that he shed, because without it, we would still be lost. And that's what the thing, I think it's in Romans where it talks about that the offense of one man, meaning Adam, all of us to go into sin. But then by the death of one man, Jesus Christ, we all was redeemed back to God. So what a wonderful, wonderful testimony that is for us, a thing that is for us, so that we can know who God is and what he has done for us. And then the word remission also is made up of two words, actually, because re is always a separate word, and then there's mission. And if we talk about the word mission, it's taken from the Latin word missio, which means to send. And then the prefix re means away or again. So thus we speak of the remission of sins. We speak of the sending away of our sin. That's what Christ did for us when he went to the cross and shed his blood. He sent our sins away, because without the shedding of blood, there would be no remission of sin. And so we got to think, does anybody have, I'm just talking, but does anybody have anything they want to say just on that, what I've been talking about thus far?
No, you keep going, Elder. This is good.
Okay.
Thank you.
And then when I think I'm gonna just talk, go back to remission one more time and just give a little more clarification on it. Remission is the altering and absolving of punishment for sin. Once God has forgiven a person, for his or her sins, God can also give remission for those sins, removing the punishment justly due. It is at this step that many fail to progress in the plan of restitution. This is the step a person is entering into the presence of God and feeling his great love. Many therefore fall under the false assumption that they have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But up to this point, man has only been saved from past sins. And one of the references that they used to support that particular, was that particular scripture, and I don't want to get on, and that's not my topic, so I don't want to really run into that, but I'll just briefly mention it, was in Acts 19:1-7, and it said, there were disciples who believed in Jesus but had not received or known of the Holy Spirit baptism. And they only knew of John's baptism, which was to repentance. So John was the first one to really begin to introduce the baptism to repentance, and they received forgiveness and remission of their sins and were leading good lives, but they had not entered into the salvation that Jesus made available by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, despite the fact that they were believers in Jesus. So they still had another step to take to get to that, to what Jesus is offering, because they had been under John's teaching, and John told them themselves. He said, "There's one that comes after me, whose shoes I'm not even worthy to unlace, but he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." So he mentioned of another baptism that would come, and we just kind of finished our lesson on baptism. But I just wanted to kind of touch on that briefly as we talk about remission. Does anyone else have anything they want to say as so far on any of the things that I've been saying? Any comments? If not, we're going to continue on. And so then, so like I said before, Christ took our hell, and it was, and what it was God's anger. But one of my favorite stories in the Bible, of course, is those children of Israel and the whole Exodus situation and all of that. And we talk about remission is to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. And so it is the Greek word parasesis, which literally means to pass over. And so when I saw that Passover, I thought about in Exodus 12 where it talks about the Passover, and it talks about that final plague that God used in that whole scenario, and when he killed the firstborn of the Egyptian. But he told the Israelites, if you put the blood on the doorpost, I will pass over you. And so that's what Christ has done for us. He has put his blood on our doorpost. And so that is why the death from sin is passing over us. Do we have any comments on that? So then God is willing to pass over you without causing judgment to fall. But there is one condition. You must be under the blood. And so to those that are out there and you say, well, what are you talking about? If you want the judgment of God to pass over you, you have to be a child of God. You have to have accepted Jesus as your Savior, and you have to accept that his blood is what was shed for you, that has made you whole, has remitted your sins, you are forgiven because of what Jesus did. You do it in faith. So it's not what we do, but it is what Christ does for us. And so, you know, the preachers used to say, midnight is coming, and is your blood on the doorpost of your soul? So that's what we want you to think about today as we go on talking about this particular topic. You know, night is coming, and it says that when you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your heart. but be able to let the blood be applied on your doorpost of your soul so that you will be able to make it into the kingdom of God. Because that is our goal, and that's why we're teaching this foundational series, so that people will know more about God and be able to apply the word of God to their life and really begin to seek after God and to learn of God and to be able to be adopted into his family. I was telling them today at the hospital when I was over there ministering that I told them adoption is even, I know people say, well, I'm having a baby and I'm having a baby. And so you're bringing, birthing that baby into your family. But there's something special about adoption. Because adoption means that that he picked you specially to be a part of the family. And the wonderful thing about God is he has handpicked each and every one of us. Because he said he wishes that none would perish, but that all would come to repentance. That's what God, so when we are adopted into his family, he has picked us out special. I thank God for that, because sometimes we just need to feel special.
Amen, amen, amen.
We need to feel special, because sometimes people try to make us feel like we're not nobody. But when it comes to Christ, we have been handpicked and chosen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I thank God for that, because that's such a blessing. There's so many children that are so many people, period, that are just kind of on their own. They feel isolated, and they feel like they have nobody. But you got God. If you are here, if you have accepted him as your Savior, he has shed his blood on Calvary's cross for you. You have been accepted into beloved. You are a part of his family. You have been adopted into the biggest, best family ever. That's awesome. And every time one person comes into heaven, the angels get to rejoicing because you are coming into the family. They are welcome you in. It's an awesome something. It's just awesome to me. But anyway, there are several scriptures in the Bible, and we're going to touch on each one of them about, and they touch on remission. It's about 9 of them, I do believe, that really talk about remission. But Luke kind of touches on about 3 of them. And touches on about 3 of those particular scriptures. And it says Luke has 3 examples of the phrase talking about remission. And it talks about Luke 1 and 77. And it says to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. John the Baptist came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. And then in Luke, it says in Luke 3:3, it says, when Jesus appeared to his disciples after his resurrection, he said that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. Does anybody have anything to say about the topic so far? Anybody got anything to add?
Well, I'll add to the scriptures. I was just looking at this in Acts 10 and 43. It's where Peter tells a Roman named Cornelius that whosoever believeth in Christ shall receive remissions of sin.
Yes.
Cornelius and those in his home did believe, and they received forgiveness in Christ.
Yes. And so he told them about Christ, because they really hadn't heard or they didn't know. But when he preached the gospel to them, they would say they turned their life over. And that's what we are really endeavoring for people to do today. When you hear the gospel, it says at that moment, don't harden your heart, but it's time to accept him. The time is winding up. We think we got time, oh, time, oh, time. But, you know, they've been preaching time is winding up for over 2,000 years. So at some point, we got to understand that it is winding up. Anybody have anything to say about that?
Well, I just want to say you're so right about that. We don't have time to procrastinate. We never know the time, season, or day when he's coming, so we need to be ready.
Need to be ready.
We need to be ready.
Man, you know, not the day or the hour.
For that great day.
Mm-hmm.
For that great change from this old wicked to wretched body.
Okay. So we have to understand what God is saying when he's, when he is talking to us about these things. I was trying to find my notes on something, but anyway, I'll keep going. So then, we think about that was Luke, and then also he said when Jesus appeared to his disciples after his resurrection, he said that, I'm repeating myself, repentance and remission of sin should be preached in the name of all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And he talks about that, and if we go down here and find the scripture so I can read it, Luke 24:47, he says, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in the name of to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. And then John 20:23 says, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And I want to talk about this story that I saw, and it was talking about a young man, and he had leukemia. And it was talking about how that he was at death's door, and they felt like they had given him up, and that death was coming soon for him. But mm-hmm. then and his family and some of the saints were in his room just praying, and they kept praying, and they kept praying all night long. And then the next morning, this young man, it took a turn for the best. And the Lord touched his body, and they said the leukemia is in remission.
Praise God.
And so what that said to me is that, and when you talk about remission when you're dealing with illness, the story said that the young man walked out of the hospital with his leukemia in remission. He returned home, went back to school, and resumed a normal life. But for the first time, it kind of came to a realization what that really meant. I fully understood what remission meant. It meant that he was not going to die. He was going to die at first, just like mm-hmm. we were going to die before Jesus went to the cross.
Yes.
And said that the doctor had been written off. We had been written off too. But God, in his mercy, decided after Adam fell in that garden, he said, I got to redeem him back to the other. And he knew the only thing would be able to do that would be the blood sacrifice of the sacrificial lamb. And so, you know, before in the Old Testament, they were sacrificing, they were making blood sacrifice, but they had to continue to do it. But when Christ came, we don't have to do that no more. He was our sacrifice. And we all have been redeemed because of what he done. Does anybody have any comments on that?
Well, Elder Bryson, I want to kind of mix something up in here. I pray that everybody can see the connection. When you're talking about the remission of sin, and when we think about the Old Testament, and I'm going to be reading out of Exodus 24. And when we talk about the blood, and I'm going to start with Exodus 24. Really, I need to start at 1, but I'll go ahead and skip down to 6. Exodus 24 and 6. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basin, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the blood, and he took the book of the covenant, and read in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord has said we will do, and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people, and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. And in the commentary it says, the Old Testament, God accepted the death of an animal as a substitute for the sinner. The mm-hmm. animal's shed blood was proof that one life had been given for another. So on the one hand, blood symbolized the death of the animal, but on the other hand, it symbolized the life that was spread as a result. When you talk about remission, and you're talking about Jesus, blood gushing out. So if we look at it, blood was necessary for the remission of sin. And so Israel was shedding blood of animals for their sin. But oh, great day in the morning, as they say, when God gave us Jesus as the ultimate sacrifice. But if you look back from a historical point, That's why God, you know, the blood is important for the remission of sins. It's an absolute necessary thing for sins to be remitted. So that's why they were sacrificing animals. And, it, I mean, there's so much more in that. It's so rich in that. But just to just shed a little historical point of view for those, when we talk about remission of sin, that God set this up for us, but it requires the shedding of blood for your sins to be remitted.
Yes. Does anyone else have any comments? I thank y'all the poster for that. That's a blessing. Thank you for that. But we have to be able to compare the Old and the New Testament and see how it flowed together, because it's working. It's working together, and so we have to understand.
I'm sorry. I was reading a little further, and then when we read a little further, it says, "Of course, the death of the animal that brought forgiveness in the Old Testament was only a temporary provision.
Come on.
Looking forward to the death of Jesus Christ, which was the ultimate and last sacrifice that ever needed to be made for our sins." Woo! Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He's the ultimate sacrifice. He is that lamb that we don't have to. God set it up for us. All we got to do is accept him and begin to live like he wants us to live. He did everything for us. That's such an awesome testimony, and awesome, just an awesome word. And then I was thinking about, if you know, like on the day of Pentecost, when it talks about in Acts 2:38, that's one of the scriptures, too, that it is talking about where the term remission for sin is mentioned. Because it says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be ye baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." But the thing about that is what Peter was preaching to them, he was talking about, is that when Christ, he was talking about that these were the very people that crucified Christ. And he began to preach to them about what they had done, the sin that they had committed in murdering Jesus. And after understanding what they had done, they cried out, "What shall we do?"
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." So if repentance and remission and baptism, all of those things go together. You didn't see it was right there together. He said, "Repent, be baptized, so that Christ could remit the sin."
Right, and that was after Christ had already been crucified. So if that had happened before, that wouldn't, what Peter said would not have been enough, because there was no shed.
It was no shedding of the blood.
That's for your remission of sin. That's because the blood had already been shed.
Ooh, yes. Woo!
So all they had to do was follow in what Jesus had set up when we talked about baptism weeks before, and why we had to get baptized, and why do we do it? Because Jesus had did it. That's all connected. And I'm going to use one of our astute teachers said, "Connect the dots, saints."
Yes, connect the dots, because that's what we used to have to do. Thank you. He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." So what was going on here? They were sinners, just as we were, headed for death and hell. But God loved them enough to allow them complete remission. And when you think about maybe cancer or something like that, when it goes into complete remission, that means they done scanned everybody, they done scanned them, they done this, and they cannot find a trace of it anywhere. That's the same thing God does for us. When we get our sins remitted, it's not a trace of what our past was. God done put it over in the sea of good. Now, we keep bringing it up. But God done forgot about it and gone on to something else.
Yes, that's right.
It's grace in action. How about that? Does anybody have anything else they want to bring out?
I like that, grace in action.
That is what it is. It is grace in action. It says remission of their sins. If they would just obey his word, grace in action. So that's the same thing. Sometimes people have been given a death sentence in sickness, and the doctors say, well, you know, ain't nothing else we can do about it. Then all of a sudden a miracle happens.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Here, let me read this.
Okay.
It says, and I'm still in Exodus. It says, in the ceremonial description here, Moses sprinkled half the blood from the sacrificial animal on the altar to show that the sinner could once again approach God because something had died in his place. So that gives us access.
And that's what Christ did when he died on the cross. He gave us access. He tore the veil was ripped from top to bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which gave us access to God. And when the blood hit the mercy seat.
Mm-hmm.
Woo. What about, anybody got any comments on that?
I wanted to make a comment on, it's in Hebrews 6, you know, and it is moving forward. Just moving forward, we know the way. Let me read this. He said, therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that leads to death and of faith in God. Instructions about cleansing rites, the laying on the hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment, and God permitting, we will do so. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, who have fallen away, to be brought back to repentance. To their loss, they are crucified. It's like crucifying the Son of God all over again and subject him to public disgrace. Land that drinks in the rain, often falling on it, and that produces a crop useful to those for whom it is formed, receive the blessing of God. What I was just trying to say by reading that is that the things that we know to do, God already has done everything when he died and shed his blood on the cross for us and was raised from the dead. You know, we know this, I guess, as mature Christians. We need to move on and stop constantly looking back. Just look forward to the mark of the higher calling, you know.
Yes.
At some time, we need to go beyond the elementary teachings. We've learned that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're on milk. I'm not milk, but meat.
Yes.
We're on meat, and God has did so much for us, you know. He has laid a great foundation for us. We don't need to turn back. We don't need to wonder about this or that. And we have felt his glory and the power of his Holy Spirit.
Yes.
What else can he do for us?
Mm-hmm. What more can he do? They used to sing a song. What more can he do? They used to sing that song. The mothers would get up and sing it. He has opened up the. What was? I can't think of the whole song, but it was a. I remember that song. I remember them singing that song.
Mm-hmm. We have to find that song the next teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And then when. I think it goes, he laid the foundation and opened up the way. What more can he do? I believe that's it.
That's it. That's it right there.
Mm-hmm. What more can he do?
What more can he do?
He's given it all to us. It's just laid out there.
It's laid out there.
We ain't got to wonder this or that, you know.
Mm-hmm. And that was awesome, the way you brought that out, Elder Russell. I think that was, and when I think about this too, I'm going back to the post and got us on this Old Testament for a minute, and we think about the mercy seat and how, like you said, that The priest, high priest, had to sprinkle the blood to offer an atonement for Israel's sin. But when Jesus came, he was our atonement.
Yes.
And it was once and for all the mercy through Christ. We don't have to go back to sprinkle no more blood on the mercy seat. He is the mercy.
He is the mercy.
Yes. Anybody got anything to say about that? I got excited. Woo, he's just awesome. And so I'm just so thankful for his teachings. I don't think this is a long topic. It's just one of them that you just know that this is what God has done. He has remitted your sins because of what he did on the cross for us. And like you said, if we would just take what he's laid out, the foundation, he's opened up the way, if we would go in his way, life would be so much easier for us. He purchased the victory for us.
Yeah.
Does anybody else have any comments on this topic?
You know, this is a little comical, but thank God that he did do it the way he did it, because if we just think about it, if we would have had to keep sacrificing animals for our sin, we probably starve to death from a protein deficiency because there wouldn't be no animals left.
Okay. Oh my God. The poor animals would stop eating that. Now, don't come over and tell me I'm not going to get pregnant because all they're going to do is kill the babies. They're killing them up left and right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But the Bible talks about, you know, the life in the blood, because Israel.
Okay.
They were forbidden from eating blood. The life was in the blood.
Exactly. What I wanted to say was, I've often thought about if we still had to do sacrifices and stuff now, we would be in a world of trouble. Because back in the day when Jesus was in the temple, he had to go in there and throw them out because they was in there selling and doing stuff. Now just think now in the day that we live in, what kind of shape would we be in? They would be selling us animals that are hybrids. They would be giving us all kind of discounts, and it wouldn't be specified to what God has said. So I thank the Lord that he knew that he had to get it together because we were getting ready to be in a mess.
Yeah.
And it would have been too much. And if from what I remember about sacrificing, too, in certain instances, God was good because he would demand them to bring, well, that was the big sacrifice when he had them to do the blood of the bulls and goats. But in other instances, God just broke it on down. He said, well, if a person doesn't have, in essence, he was saying, if a person doesn't have enough money for, a bull or a goat or whatever, he said, let them bring turtle doves. And you know what I'm saying? And in this day and time, if we had people that didn't have money, we'd be in a world of trouble. They would still try to force on us what they wanted. So I thank God what they wanted to sell us in order to, we would be in a world of trouble. We would have to depend on man for the remission of our sins, and that's not what God did.
That's not what
he
God
did. He provided.
That's right. You know, you didn't play with the Old Testament law, because he says if two or three witnesses, and you did wrong, you're going to be stoned to death.
Mm-hmm.
Many of us would be gone. We wouldn't even be here.
We sure would.
We wouldn't be here.
Because the way they are now, child, they be trying to sell us pigeons for doves. You know, all kinds
of people. Right.
So
and they would be lying, and we'd be through.
Mm-hmm.
So now we
mm-hmm.
get God's sacrifice of praise for what he's done.
Right.
Yes. That's what we offer now, a sacrifice of praise. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a personal thing. That's why I believe that the veil of the temple was rent too, so we had personal access. No
mm-hmm.
one has to go to God for us. And that's a beautiful point, Elder Poston, the sacrifice
mm-hmm.
of praise. That's what God is requiring of us.
Because when we think about the element in the desert tabernacle was a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
who through his sacrificial death on the cross became a mercy seat.
Yes.
Or a propitiation where sins will be atoned forever.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says the old covenant with its requirements for a continual sacrifice was replaced with Jesus once and for all. Sacrifice for sins. Intercession by a human high priest was no longer needed. and people can go directly to Christ, believe in him, and have their sins covered.
You know, he's made it so easy for us now to serve him, you know, because of Jesus Christ. It
mm-hmm.
makes me think about our young people when our parents were very hard on us, and we worked hard, you know, but it caused us to want to do good and to work and make a living, go to school or whatever. And when you try to help the younger people to make them have a better life, they don't want to do anything. They
okay.
take a shortcut, you know, drugs, alcohol, or whatever else, and die early. And
well,
we're the same way, in a similar way. God has made it so easy for us. But yet, we're bringing all kind of sins into the world. You know, we just bringing it there.
And Elder Russell, when you were talking about how our parents were very disciplined with us and made us live a very structured, disciplined routine, that was the same thing God did with Israel because he wanted to make them different from all the heathen nations. Now,
yes.
The lines are so blurred, you can't tell the difference.
Okay.
But it was for a purpose. It wasn't because, like I tell people, the young people I work with, you know, rules, structure, curfew, discipline, all of that equates to love. Because if you don't love something, you don't care what happens to it. But
right.
when you love something, you set boundaries. You set rules in place to protect it. So I tell them, all of y'all that's mad at your mom and daddy because they told you to be home at a certain time, that's because they love you. So you need to
mm-hmm.
go home and apologize. It's not that they're trying to keep you from something. It's because they're trying to protect you for something so you can be an example of something different that the world doesn't know. God is in your life for you to be a difference. And if you don't embrace that, then who we supposed to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world.
Right.
All right,
yeah.
I'm going to mute.
But we kind of loose, you know, as we emerged in the next generation, we kind of loose the hold on our children. We gave them more leeway. But really it didn't help. In some instance, it made it worse, you know.
Yes.
Just as God is doing now, what he keeps giving us, his son, he did everything for us, you know. He laid out the pattern, the plan. We've seen miracles all through the Old Testament, and they still sin, you know. What more
mm-hmm.
can he do? I mean, he's given us Jesus. We can, if we sin, you know, he's there to forgive us. Not that we should continue, but he's there in place for us if
mm-hmm.
we should stumble. But yet we stumble, find any way we can to fall into devil's temptation.
And even with that, he's already made a way of escape for us, but we don't always take the way.
We don't take it.
He already has a way for us, but sometimes
mm-hmm.
we just don't always take it. Do we have any of our other callers want to comment on anything? Well, I was thinking about when you were talking about that sacrifice of praise, that's the sacrifice that we have to give. We have a praise, you know, like you said, when we enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise and be thankful unto him. Our job is to praise God and to lift him up and just to give him the glory for all the things that he's done, because he's done so many great things for us. But I'm telling you, it is awesome how God laid out the plan for us. If we
laid
just,
it out.
Yeah.
He laid it out.
Yeah, he laid it out. He didn't leave us. He didn't leave it for any chance for us to mess it up again. Because, you know, even though he gives us free will, but he said, for this, I got to put the plan in place.
You made a way of
escape. He did it.
You know,
go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, I had got an opportunity to witness to a lady this weekend. She was going in to have part of her liver removed because of cancer, and she just had some type of colon cancer, and she had a procedure for that. And she was supposed to go and get the chemo, but she wouldn't go. She's a woman that's in the world, in the streets, does what she wants to do. And she's an older woman. But so they told me asked me what I call and pray for her, you know. And when I called her, and I was speaking to her on her terms and was telling her how God had blessed her, that all that she had went through, all this cancer and all that she went through, and not going back to get her chemo treatments, he was still giving her favor. And I said, he's giving you favor because he loves you. It's something about you that he wants you to speak to his people about. You have a great testimony. And she listened. I say, now, you're going back to surgery. You got cancer of the liver. I say, it's time for you to make a decision. But it's going to be your choice, and it is not God's choice. He's already made the choice when he gave you his son. And so are you ready to make that change? Are you ready to involve in what God has called you to be, to let him as a potter mold you into that special person? Are you ready for that? And not only that, on this earth you'll have a better life. You will receive eternal life. You receive the glorified body, where there is no pain, no worry. You don't want to miss out on this for what the world has done to you. You lost a child, a husband, or whatever. So, cutting it short, she repented of her sins and said she wanted to give her life to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And prayed the prayer of repentance. And I said, now you know now, this day, if you die, you're going to heaven because You have repented and given your life to the Lord. And I say, now, we send in the angels with you as you go to surgery. We ask the medical team from heaven to come down and intervene on your behalf. And I say, it is possible that when you go in there, they will not find anything. It's possible. God can do anything. So she thanked me so much for the prayer and the talk, and it was that day she was having surgery.
Wow.
They called me that night and said, well, she didn't have to have surgery because she needed more chemo. But I said, she didn't have to have surgery. They said half of that liver, and if she would live right, God could restore her. I said, that was a miracle right there.
It was a miracle.
It was a miracle right there.
Amen. I thank the Lord for you being there to be able to be a witness. That's wonderful.
Yes, and I thank God for the opportunity to talk to her, and I pray that she, at that moment, I knew she meant what she said, but I told her, I said, listen, I'm not telling you that life is going to be perfect because the enemy is going to be mad.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want you to turn your life around. But you see what he has done to you. But God has pulled you out of every situation. Cancer of the colon, cancer of the liver, among other things. And you still alert, already walk and talk and do what you want to do. God is good.
Wow. And what that says to me too, Elder Russell, is so many times we all feel like that our place, that we have to have a platform in the church to do stuff. But really, God got us placed on our jobs in different places to be able to minister. What an awesome testimony. And I know you've told us about so many, but I think it's a blessing because what that says to me is that we all have a platform on every place we go. We got a platform. I know
every day.
Sister Dyson used to always joke with me. She said, Denise, I think you got a pool pit in your in your purse or something. You just pull it out at any time. She used to say something like that. It would be so funny. We'd be cutting up. But we all have a place and things that people to minister on a daily basis.
We just have to be open and ready for when God offers, when the opportunity presents itself, and we have to move in faith and not in fear.
Mm-hmm.
We got a job to do. That's why he's telling us to go into all the world. Because if we think about it, we nowadays, especially with the diversity that is on our jobs and things today, we're really in all the world, even right here in this country.
We're in this world, in this country, right here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I feel like
it can be if we can be a blessing to those on our jobs and it's multicultural, then they taking the gospel back to their families in another place. And just look how that can just continue to snowball and be a blessing and just people be won and people be testifying about it. It's so much for us to do.
It's so much. And the thing about this is God is already taking care of us. We're already taken care of. So we need to be out there doing his business. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Every day, I believe that God has someone for us to speak to.
Mm-hmm.
So don't waste time. Don't waste the day. You know, you glean that. You glean where you're working. You glean that field where you are and see who God wants you to talk to that day.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have time to waste. Mm-hmm. We just need to get busy, be open. Because we never know who may walk up and tap our shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
We should be ready at all times with an answer.
Right.
That's what the Bible says. And so
If we're ready, God's going to send them to us. And they'll come. If we're ready, he'll send them. We just have to be ready.
And sometimes it's a smile. We don't know what God is going to use. Somebody told me one time, they said, you smile too much to me. I said, well, the Lord gave me this smile, I'm going to keep on grinning because I don't know who is blessing.
Well, they had a problem.
I know. But I don't know who is blessing. And somebody, I've had people say to me, you smiled at me, just bless my day. Well, praise the Lord. If that's all it took for me to do, if that's all it took for me to be a blessing to somebody was to show these little teeth I got, well, guess what? Amen.
You know what? People need a touch. They need a smile. My sister makes crosses, and she sends them. The guy that makes the Gideon Bibles, he takes them. He sends them to Russia. He sends them to China. They send them all around. And she'll send me a package for me to give out at my job. And I tell you that when God leaves me to give a cross, you'd be surprised how touched those people are, how they cry, how they hug me. They need something. They need a show of love.
Mhm.
And if you don't necessarily have to have a cross, but if you got something you can give, you know, because I tell them, I say, remember that you're never alone. Just touch that cross that you have around your neck. Just touch it. Just remind you who you belong to. And it's a blessing to me when I see them coming to the job and they have the crosses on. Some have it on, been having it on for a year. Miss Sherry, look what I got on. You know, that's a blessing to me.
That's a blessing.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's so much we can do.
Yeah. There's so much more we can do. And even though, and that's why they tell us all the time, despise not the days of small beginnings. Because it might look like it's little and yours, but it is big. Because whenever the gospel is going out, he said his word will not return unto him void. That's what God promised. So you don't even have to do the work there. You just got to be the vessel being used at that time and let God do the work.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, when you said about that smile, when my friends at work or my patients see me, and they say, well, Miss Shirley, why are you not smiling? And you know what? I put that fake smile on in a minute. If it's going to bless somebody. I think about it, you know, because sometimes you get that serious look. I say, let me get rid of this look. You know what I mean? Because somebody needs your smile.
Somebody needs it. Yeah.
They have enough crowns in their life.
Mm-hmm. We all have so much to offer. That's why he's given us all so many gifts and seems to be able to use for the kingdom's sake. So, of course, time is winding down as usual. We got like 5 minutes or so, and does anyone else have anything to say about this particular topic? And we're going to move on for this one to the next one. I think I sent a list out, and everybody knows their topics to teach, and we'll be moving on to the next topic. But I thank God for each and every one of you that was on the line and has contributed to this teaching today. It's been such a blessing. I think it's been such a blessing. I'm just really thankful to God for all that he has done. And, of course, as usual, I'm always in my prayer time pleading the blood of Jesus over you all's lives and praying that the Lord would do exceeding abundantly above all that you can even ask or think. And I believe God. I believe God. I think as I'm going through life, the Lord is teaching me how to believe God. He said, if you ask in prayer, believe you shall receive it. I'm believing that you are going to receive what I'm asking for in prayer. That's what I believe. And so
praise
I thank God for you, because you don't have to take your time, because time is precious. But I thank God for each and every one of you that come on the broadcast and take your time to be a blessing to somebody else. God will bless you for what you're doing, and I thank God for that. At this time, I'm going to ask if Elder Russell would offer the invitation to Christ today, and then I'm going to ask if Minister Henry would pray us out, and then we will be back on the broadcast, not next week. We're going to do a rebroadcast next week. We're going to let people be with their families on Easter and celebrate the Resurrection Sunday, and then we will be back the next week. Back on point on our job, but we're going to play a rebroadcast of one of the other topics that we just did. And so we will see you in a couple of weeks live, but we will be online next week with a previous broadcast, but we'll be back live in 2 weeks. So, Elder Russell, would you offer the invitation to Christ?
Yes. For those that have listened to the broadcast, we so appreciate you listening to us today. We'd like to ask you today if you know Jesus Christ. If not, we're asking you today to consider receiving him as your Savior. He has already died and shed his blood for you. He's at the right hand of God, preparing a place for you. If you are ready to make a change in your life, if you're ready for the Maker, the potter, to mold you into the person he's called you to be, just ask him to come into your heart. Ask him to forgive your sins. And just ask him to be with you as you walk this walk. For his word says he'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. And there is no better walk than a walk with Jesus. And if there is one that has accepted Christ as your Savior, the angels in heaven rejoice. We just suggest that you find a Bible church that teaches you about Christ. Amen.
Amen. Anything
here? Yeah, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this medium. We have to broadcast your word and reach people all over the world. We thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the staff on here, dear God, giving up of the time, come and utilize the ministry that you have given them to reach people, continue to keep them, they and the family, cover them, protect them, watch over them, increase them and use them daily, dear God, with the ministry that you have given them. Father, continue to use this medium to reach people. Those that are listening, continue to bless them, dear God. And keep them, Lord, even this Resurrection Week, dear God, we celebrate and commemorate what you did for us on the cross, dear God. Help us to reflect and help us to grow and help us to be better and help us to be more mature. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, amen. Thank you all for tuning in, and thank you for calling in, and I thank God for those who will listen later. Have a great Resurrection Week, and celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. 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 Goodbye.